Hey, this is Thomas Q. Jones, former UVA All-American running back, and you're listening to The Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Wahoo wah.
Welcome to another edition of the Good Health Podcast here on The Jerry Ratcliffe Show, along with my co-host, Chris Graham. We're talking to Dr. Winston Guathme today of UVA Orthopedics, one of our sponsors, along with Ragged Mountain Running Shop. And welcome, Winston.
Thank you for having me, Jerry. I always appreciate coming on here with you and Chris.
It's always great to have you. I guess let's just jump into the biggest news of the past, 24 hours, and that was Virginia's holding court on JPJ's court last night against Virginia Tech in another thriller dealer that went down to the last second, as we've seen some of those this season.
I have to tell you something funny, Jerry. I got my media credentials, or my JPJ credentials this year. And for whatever reason, they still have my photograph my first year in practice, 2013. And I'm this young looking guy with a full head of hair, just ready to, and then I currently look like obviously much older. And my guess is that being a basketball doc for the past 9 years has aged me 25 years. And last night didn't help out at all. UVA never makes it easy, do they?
Yeah, I think that puts some mileage on all of us, to tell you the truth, the past 7 or 8 years, for sure. Some incredible moments.
Even during our really good years, I always had that just seed of doubt in my mind that, I felt like we have scoring droughts, but we always, I don't know what Tony Bennett's record is in close games, but it's pretty good. I bet you it's pretty darn good.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up and see what it is. It's 5 points or less, maybe. I don't know how many times through the years, even with their good teams, there was a lot of games in doubt down to the end for whatever reason.
I've got my watch set to tell me when my resting heart, when I'm seated and my heart rate goes over 100 or goes below 50. I got one of those warnings last night for the above 100 in the last, 15 seconds or so.
When Kihei misses the second, the 1-1 foul shot to me is just, that's where my heart rate gets by far the worst. When you're up by 1 point, you're going for a 1-1, all you got to do is just hit that first one, and it all feels so much better. I'm so glad Kihei made the first one last night. And granted, he missed the second one just because he wanted to keep the UVA fans' heart rate up above 150. And I appreciate that. But, guys, they had 2 3-pointers with less than 7 seconds to go that would have won the game.
And relatively had clean looks on both of them, yeah.
It's so amazing just how different you and I, all three of us, would feel today if one of those had gone in. I feel pretty good right now, but if one of those had gone in, my entire day would have changed, And so I guess it's both the beauty and also the curse of being a fan of sports.
I had errands to run today and I was wearing my UVA sweater. I wouldn't have been doing that if one of those threes had gone in.
Yeah, it is fun. It is fun watching those kids persevere. And I think that what really was exciting about last night is Poppy, Francisco Cafaro is one of the, as someone I know, I know Francisco quite well because, he's had some trouble, with his knee, with his thigh, with his back. He's been in the doctor's office before. And that man is such a trooper and he's got such a great attitude. And there's some games where he doesn't get as much playing time or doesn't get as much performance. But last night, that was the Francisco Cafaro show in my mind.
Oh, no question about it. I tweeted last night that, he might be limited in some areas of his game, but he was just playing his ass off from the time he went in until the final buzzer last night. That guy played 31 minutes.
That's great.
He never played more than 23 in a game before at UVA.
Yeah.
Wow. He'd only played 20 minutes or more 4 times in his 3 years. He'd only scored double digits one other time, and that was the game against Carolina in 2020. So, yeah, that was a night for him last night.
he's got such heart, and he's got, you know, he's just a wonderful, wonderful athlete. I'm happy that he carried us when, you know, some of our, you know, to be honest, you know, Gardner didn't have the best game, and, you know, Shedrick, I just felt like, you know, that's the beauty about UVA. Is I feel like a different player steps up to kind of push over the hump, you know, so often.
Virginia Tech's leading scorer, Keve Aluma, had 22 points. Virginia's leading scorer, Jaden Gardner, had 4, won 2 of 10 shooting with 4 turnovers. And Virginia won the game. And credit to Francisco Cofaro, Armon Franklin, who's struggling from 3 still, but he's getting in the, you know, hitting the mid-range shots, and he's getting in the lane, and he's figuring other ways to contribute. He played great defense last night as well. So, and Reese Beekman has been a real find the last 5 games, averaging 10.8 points a game. Other guys stepping up is good for this team. It's good for any team because, you know, not everybody's going to be hitting every night. So when you have guys who can step up for you at key times, that gives you more depth and gives you more ability to win those tough games.
This team definitely gives the fan base a lot to talk about if you think about it, because every single player you just named, half the fans are all in, half the fans are not quite in. You know, like, you know, you've got the Keyhead Clark supporters and those who don't support him. And it's always kind of fun to see different guys step up and prove the naysayers wrong. And your point about Armon Franklin, I think, is really a key point. You know, he's not shooting the ball that well, but the guy's got a great mid-range game. He's a great defender, and he's a really very valuable player on our team. I mean, if you don't have that guy on the floor, our defense is not nearly as good as they are, and our offense is not as dynamic, despite the fact he's not been shooting as well. So I think that's why Tony, he finds these little pieces of the puzzle that puts together. And so whenever I'm in doubt, I always remember we have Tony Bennett as our coach, and we're going to be okay.
I love that Tony has figured out a way for Reese Beekman to contribute. You know, early in the season, it seemed like Reese was very passive on the perimeter. Yeah. These last 5 games, he's been penetrating a lot more. Whether he gets the assist or the made bucket or the hockey assist, which doesn't count, but you know, he's setting up so many plays, and boy, we know he's a great talent on both ends of the floor, but he's been showing it a lot the last few games.
He's such a leader, and he's another guy who just brings a great attitude. I read somewhere, I think he leads the ACC in assist to turnover ratio. So he also protects the ball, and he's a net asset on offense from a standpoint of just protecting the ball.
Yeah, it was nice to, you know, Virginia shooting an incredible percentage from inside the arc. It's nice to have some guys that have that mid-range shot like Franklin that you can count on.
We're just one three-point shooter away from doing something here. I know I talked to you guys before our recent away streak, and I said don't give up on this team. And we look good against Clemson. We look good against but then the UNC game was discouraging. And I think we're going to have these ups and downs all season as this team continues to mesh. But I think this team can do some damage.
UVA Orthopedics and Sports Medicine boast one of the finest teams of doctors in the country, and they're right here in Charlottesville to not only provide care for the University of Virginia athletic teams, but also the Charlottesville and Central Virginia communities. UVA Orthopedics has been a proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show for the past 2 years, with numerous team members featured in weekly segments where doctors share great insight into various sports injuries, what causes them, how to treat them, and recovery time. Their team of experts are there for you and offer the best care to solve your health problems and get you back on your feet. Let their team of specialists get you back in the game.
Yeah, it seems like you got somebody kind of riding to the rescue, somebody different riding to the rescue just about every game. And that's nice. It would be even nicer if you could see them put all that together and for a whole game. They might just blow somebody out.
I wish they would, man. As somebody, you know, my partner, Dr. Dedock, and I sit together at the games, and he likes the close games. He likes the excitement and stuff. I'm like, Dave, let's get some blowouts here so I can at least, like, enjoy, like, you know, like, I don't mind a 20-point victory here and there. I think it actually helps my soul.
He gets to go unwind. He goes out west and unwinds in those trout streams. So, he doesn't have to worry about all that.
He's got it pretty good. I think David Dedek's doing just fine. But Well, it's good. Well, again, the funny thing is, if they'd made one of those shots, our entire tone would be different in this conversation. We'd be like, what's wrong with Virginia? How are we going to dig out of this slump, you know, if one of those shots had gone in?
Yeah, for sure. And that was pretty pretty nervous ending for sure. And it looked like they were counting on Illumina to win it for them, because they kept, I think, the last up until the last two shots, I think he had the ball in his hands three times before and slipped. Well,
he slipped on some slippery spot in the court. I'm not sure if our ball guy did that for us or not, but that was very fortuitous.
Well, you know, he had those 22 points, but in the last 3-13, he was 0-for-2 with two turnovers. You know, our guys didn't consistently stop him, but they stopped him when they needed to.
Yep. No question. Good stuff. So we got Wake Forest. We have Wake Forest on Saturday.
Yes, Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, they
lost to Duke last night.
Yeah, but they've been a surprising team. You know, hopefully we can keep the momentum going.
Been one of the more surprising teams in the league, really. So it'll be
football and basketball.
Well, absolutely. I guess the other news of the day is that Virginia Tony Elliott has hired a defensive coordinator, and John Rudzinski from Air Force, who was the defensive coordinator there since 2018, I believe. He's almost got his staff completed, and looks like a solid hire. This guy's produced some pretty good defenses over the past 3 or 4 years out at Colorado Springs.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that, you know, he's been very consistent in building a good X's and O's defense that has ranked pretty well. And, you know, our defense last year wasn't quite as good as it could have been. So maybe this will be helpful to us. And I think that, you know, Coach Tony Elliott's done a good job of getting guys from it, you know, bringing guys like Chris Slade back and people who are kind of known to the program, as well as some outside guys. I think it's going to be a nice mix for our coaching staff.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with the remaining positions, if they're going to hire a special teams coordinator or perhaps split that duty up with a regular full-time coach, or have a quarterback coach and an offensive coordinator, or if just one guy's going to do that. That's a lot of position assignments to be announced. Hopefully not
Agreed. Fast
and in the future.
Well, hopefully we've got plenty of players to coach. I feel like we've lost a lot in that transfer portal, and you know, replacing the entire starting offensive line is going to be a little bit challenging, but you know, I just, we'll see. Next year is going to be a really interesting season, I feel like.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and some of the other high-caliber coaches in college football came out recently and said that something needs to be changed about the NIL and the transfer portal, that it's only making the rich richer, and it's separating the really – top programs in the country from the others. You have any thoughts on that, Winston?
Well, I have thoughts on that in two ways. One is I agree, in football specifically, you're going to end up having tiers. You're going to have like the Alabamas and Georgias and Texas A&Ms of the world, where they just got a ton of support from your alumni. I mean, it's just money that a place like UVA or Wake Forest or, you know, can't, you know, we can't really compete with that kind of money. And if kids are going places because of the money, then that it's just going to be fighting a fight that we can't win. And so I think you're going to end up being tiers in college football. But it spills down too, if you think about it. I was talking, you know, even with like the lacrosse team and the baseball team and things like that, you wonder like if you're going to see tiers setting up in those sports as well. Because a lot of those SEC schools can do a lot more for their baseball programs than a place like UVA can necessarily. So I just worry about the whole landscape of college sports as we go forward. Now, granted, I agree with the fact that, you know, these kids do make a lot of money for their schools, and you feel bad that it would make that much money without something in return. But I think the entire landscape of college sports will be changing in the next 10 years. And people say the market will help to regulate it, but I don't know. I feel like the rich will get richer, and the middle class will be a very large middle class that is going to be it's going to be hard to differentiate yourself there.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if I'd use rich getting richer and middle class, almost like feudal terms. Yeah. Almost at this stage, we're the serfs, and we got a couple of feudal overlords. But you know what, Winston, your point about the money, in one sense, Virginia could compete. We've got well-heeled alums. It's just that our alums are a little more diverse. We don't throw our money, all of our money anyway, at sports. We'll throw $50 million at a new theater program or money for our medical school. You know, we have money. We just don't want to throw it out at football.
Yeah, Chris, it speaks to the cultures of the different places. A place like, you know, I mean, I don't want to get into too much the cultural differences between a place like UVA and a place like Alabama or a place like Mississippi or whatever it might be. But that down there, you know, football is king. You know, was in the Northeast in Virginia and the, you know, Mid-Atlantic, there's a lot of other things going on that takes our attention. And so that's why I think it's always going to be a different group of people supporting UVA football. Now, that being said, it still can be done. It's just a different challenge.
Yeah,
they need more regulation and maybe put a cap on it of some kind, how much you can pay a player. They got to do something, because if you don't, it's just going to turn into professionalism or some people say organized cheating. But,
the NIL isn't even as big an issue to me as the transfer portal. And I think one tweak, and this isn't original to me, but I've heard this out there. What if you allow people to transfer and not lose that year? Previously, if you transferred, you had to sit out a year and lose the year. So if you transferred, you only got to play 3 years. Give the year back, but just don't let guys transfer and play right away. Because right now what we've done, you think about pro sports. Now, this is from an economic standpoint, but pro sports, you've got salary caps or luxury taxes, and you've also got drafts. You have free agency, but if a team loses a free agent, they get a compensation for that. They get some compensation pick or something like that. With a transfer portal, everybody's a free agent every year with no repercussions, and you can go play right away somewhere else. That's the wild west of that is to me the biggest thing that we've got to deal with and figure out a way around.
Now, Chris, to your point, I mean, you're calling, you know, the term, you know, professional sports. I mean, professional sports are, there's an organization that's got rules and regulations about what you can do. I mean, again, there's, you know, waivers, and there's actual ways that players transfer teams that are equitable to all teams, as opposed to college sports, where right now, again, the Wild West, you can just pretty much do whatever you want to do based on the current rules. So yeah, I hope that we figure it out, because I do worry that if it heads in this trajectory much longer, we might be in trouble with college sports. But as a college sports fan, you know, there's nothing better than just the spirit of college competition and just the love of the game. And I just, that's what kind of makes me sad.
The love of old State U, or in some cases Tech, even though I can't imagine that anybody would ever want to root for a Tech. But I only watch pro sports to watch our UVA guys. I've got the league pass just to watch our alums out there, and the same thing in the NFL. And so, like we said this earlier, Winston, you've been saying this a lot on this podcast. Last night affected our moods one way or the other. I don't feel the same tie to the pro teams. And so, and a lot of folks are like that. And I'm with you, Winston. I fear that if we create this caste system, that a lot of that gets lost.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Well, we got it all figured out clearly. So
we do.
Jerry Radcliffe, he can be the commissioner of college sports and fix it all for us. Right.
I second the nomination.
I guarantee I can do a better job than the NCAA is doing right now.
All right, guys.
All right, Winston, thanks for dropping in and sharing your knowledge with us. And
it's always fun.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you next time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Jerry Radcliffe Show. Get the latest on the Hoos, basketball, football, and more online at jerryradcliffe.com or at augustafreepress.com.